From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of February, 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Take up the cash grain segment with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. And along the way, we'll hear about the wearing of the blue and the gold during this National FFA Week. And get an update on what Charles Grassley, senator from Iowa, thinks about the chances for a tax credit break for ethanol and, more importantly, biodiesel in the coming months. He's not very optimistic. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
On this Wednesday afternoon, this is the way the settlement prices came across in Chicago at the CME Group, the nearby March contract, and the soft red winter wheat, 11.5 cents higher at $6.44.5. May at $6.45.75 up 9, and July at $6.60. Finished 8.5 cents higher. The hard red in Kansas City at 7.01 1/4 for the July contract, up 8.75, and the spring wheat finished 1.25 higher in the March at 8.18 1/4, July at 8.13, up 7.25 cents. March corn futures at 6.38 1/4 for the day, up 8.75. The May at 6.41 1/4, up 7.75, and July corn 6.44 1/4, up 6.75 cents. September futures $5.94 3/4, up 3. The December contract for new crop corn at $5.64.5, up 0.75 cents. Next year's March for 2013 at $5.74 1/4, down 1.25. The July at $5.85 1/4, down 1.75. Bean futures finished the March at $12.72 1/4, up 0.25 1/4 in Chicago. May at $12.78 3/4, up 1.75. And July soybeans for the day, $12.86.5, up 1.5 cents. November contract finished at $12.64, up 1.75. Bean meal at $3.31.30, up 1.10. Bean oil at $54.22, 16 higher on the day. April live cattle at $131.15, 2.5 higher. April feeders at $160.87.5, up 2.5 cents. And mailing hogs at $99, up 27.5 cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, April contract, $106.15 a barrel, down a dime for the day. Ethanol at $2.20 1/10, that's 1.7 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.66, up 3.4 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 3.3 cents higher at $3.27 2/10. And the gold futures on the afternoon, $12.90 higher at $1,770 even. The U.S. dollar up 0.17 at 79.21. And the CRB index at 322.86, up 0.41. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area yet this evening, a 30% chance of showers after midnight, mostly cloudy, a low of 38 degrees tonight, with a west wind at 6 to 10 miles an hour. And then tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers, mostly cloudy. A high near 55 degrees tomorrow with a south wind at 9 to 11 miles an hour. On a Thursday evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 31 degrees with a north-northwest wind at 9 to 16. And Friday, a chance of rain, a few snow showers too. Mostly cloudy, a high of just 39 degrees on Friday. West-northwest winds at 11 to 18. They'll gust all the way to 26. A chance of precipitation on Friday during the day, 30%. Friday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 26 degrees. On Saturday, sunny skies, a high of 36. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 26. And Sunday should show us a partly sunny sky. It'll be breezy with a high of 49 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 35. Monday, a chance of showers, partly sunny, a high of 42, and mostly cloudy on Monday night with a low of 24. By the time we get to Tuesday of next week, sunny skies and a high near 36 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast closer to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report at willag.org from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us, Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been kind of a couple of weeks where the market tends to move a few pennies one way and then turns around and goes back. And is it just consolidating and waiting for what, the March acreage report for USDA numbers later this week? What do you think?
Well, a couple things. We do notice the phones ring off the hook when the market goes down, which tells me there's a lot of concern out in the Midwest of ownership of in the corn market. We do know the commodity funds bought over 10,000 contracts of corn today. We do know that there is, last Friday, a spot cargo of corn out of the Pacific Northwest went to China. We know that there is some interest in the spot corn market, and also there was some offers, a 5-cent better bid in the July Gulf bids on corn, which would indicate some corn business. The weather forecasts in South America are good to excellent in the Midwest, good to excellent in the wheat country. A couple things that caught my eye was the corn acreage is going to be the biggest acreage planted since World War II. We did get the feeling there was a lot of getting out of long soybeans, short corn. And the other thing is that I had to talk to one of my friends in Des Moines, Iowa today, and I mentioned about the large corn acreage, and he said, Paul, that's starting to get old news, but I don't think it's some concept that needs to be put to bed yet, because I do think it's going to be large, and, you know, it looks like we're starting to recharge the batteries of soil deficit precipitation out in the West.
I read on the wire services the commercials were buyers of corn today as well as a primary. Is that something you were able to pick up?
Well, you know, I harped a couple times here that, you know, long, old, short, new corn is a logical way to play it. J.P. Morgan blew out of it yesterday, and I don't know why they did, but they got out of it. We know the old mainstay in the corn market, ethanol, doesn't have such a shiny color like it did 3 or 4 years ago or last year. But there is this feeling that the energy relationship between corn and soybean oil and crude oil at $106, there is some value there, and that's also supportive to the old crop corn market.
The soy complex last week led the way. Is it done leading for the moment?
Yes, it is. And the reason is that the arithmetic is that the corn exports are bean exports are falling behind, and the mathematical guys can tell us that it's just almost impossible to sell enough beans out of the U.S. to equal the U.S. Export projections. Maybe it's 25% of the beans are being harvested in Brazil. The bean yields seem to be good. And the other factor there that's on the scary side of the equation, my opinion, is that the old crop supply in South America is a lot larger than we anticipated. And it seems like there is 4.5 million tons of boats to be loaded. So there is a lot of boats backed up down there to take advantage of the harvest. The farmers are stingy sellers, hard sellers. They don't want to sell at cheap prices. Same concept here is farmers don't want to sell under $6.50 on old corn, and they sure don't want to sell at $1 a bushel less on the new crop corn.
Is it fair to say you're friendly old crop corn and soybeans and bearish new crop for both?
Well, let's just say this, that Paul is very neutral beans to bearish, and I think wheat's bearish, and the only game in town that's somewhat friendly from a fundamental point of view is old crop corn. And for some reason, that race car doesn't want to go very fast down the road.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear Paul again, you can always do that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, and post it not too long after we put it on our radio stations.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Well, the top Republican on the Senate's Tax Writing Finance Committee, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, is not sounding hopeful that lawmakers will write another tax bill before November. That after renewal of the expired biodiesel credit failed to make it into the just-passed payroll tax break extension. Grassley did not sound an optimistic note when asked about the chances for another tax package soon that would include the on-again, off-again biodiesel blender's credit that expired last year.
Maybe nothing on taxes being done by the Finance Committee until after the election, and then that kind of depends on how the election goes. But unless there's a movement to bring up all of the 50 provisions, approximately 50 provisions that sunsetted December 31st, all at one time, I don't expect anything to be done for biofuels separately.
Grassley hopes maybe the jobs issue will galvanize a movement behind both the biofuels credit and the wind energy tax break.
I'm kind of hoping that biodiesel and wind energy working together, and the fact that we don't want to increase unemployment, as maybe putting a whole package of sunsetted tax provisions so we can get it done earlier than later.
Meantime, corn demand from ethanol is dropping as soaring gasoline prices depress gas and ethanol consumption. Grassley says the fight is on to preserve a subsidy for non-food-based cellulosic ethanol.
We need to continue the subsidy for cellulosic ethanol. That's sunset, so that has to be renewed. We're not going to get the ethanol tax incentive back. We have to fight Big Oil on their efforts to do away with the RFS, and we've got to make sure that there's no legislative or regulatory impediments to going to E15.
Senator Grassley was not as concerned over rising exports of ethanol as the domestic market shrinks, citing the need to sell U.S. value-added products. Others see export pressure as symptomatic of too much reliance on grain for energy and the need to adjust the renewable fuel standard. Well, that's one story and news of note out of Washington, D.C. There's another that comes out of Indianapolis. Of course, it's National FFA Week, and during this week, there's a lot of wearing of the blue jackets, along with T-shirts and hoodies and other things that say FFA on them. Many pins, a lot of personalized awards will be handed out, too. Have you ever wondered where it all comes from? Gary Truitt of Hoosier Ag Today in Claremont, Indiana, a farm broadcaster, certainly did. He checked it out and has this report.
Tucked away on the west side of Indianapolis is a rather nondescript building that houses the official dress and not-so-official dress items of the National FFA Organization. Leanne Schiller is manager of the FFA Merchandise Center, where all of the pins, plaques, and awards for the entire organization are made.
Probably one out of every two things that comes out of the center is personalized with a student's name on it, which is really important to us. And it is hard work to make sure that every day that we're personalizing that that is done correctly and the student's name is spelled right.
In a very modern and efficient operation, the center turns out hundreds of thousands of individual orders from all over the country in as little as 48 hours. But the most important job in the center is the designing and safeguarding the quality of the most visible symbol of the National FFA, the blue jacket.
Blue corduroy is the right fabrication, that it has the right hand and feel to it, and it's the right color. We've had times over the years where the colors change and the emblems have changed, but our job here is really to ensure that it's always blue and that the emblem is the right emblem and that the fit is right. And over the course of the last 10 years, you know, we've ensured that by looking at it and making sure that the fit is correct for today's students.
As for the rest of the FFA wardrobe, there is an enormous amount of creative design and high fashion that goes into everything that has the FFA name on it.
It really starts with the development of a new product. So we are out looking for new things for our students all the time, trying to figure out what it is they need and what they want from us, and then providing that to them.
During National Convention, the Merchandise Center will sell over $700,000 in FFA merchandise to students from across the country. I'm Gary Truitt.
Our thanks go to Gary Truitt of the Hoosier Ag Today Network out of Claremont, Indiana, for that report. If you'd like to hear more from Gary, you certainly can. Visit him online at HoosierAgToday.com. If you'd like to order some FFA wear for yourself, I've got a couple of shirts. And in fact, I still have my blue and gold jacket. It hangs up right next to my daughter's. It's a great sight to see. You can find it all at FFA.org. If you'd like to wear a little of the blue and gold. Up next, you know, among the major crops, the corn market has received the lion's share of attention over the past couple of months. That attention has been the result, of course, of the surprising USDA December 1st stocks estimate, adverse weather conditions in South America, the demise of the ethanol blender's tax credit, and prospects for small year-ending stocks. Still, as you'll hear in a moment, the soybean market has become the focus of more attention in recent weeks. And rightfully so. While corn prices have declined marginally since the first of the year, soybean prices, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good, particularly for the 2012 crop, have increased. Well, that strength in the bean market, he thinks, is being generated by deteriorating crop prospects in South America and expectations for fewer planted acres in the U.S. this year. A Good points to the most recent USDA supply and demand report as evidence to this end.
The USDA lowered the projected size of the 2012 South American crop by 215 million bushels, or just over 4%. That reduction comes on the heels of a 90 million bushel reduction last month. While the USDA lowered the forecast of South American soybean exports by 105 million bushels, the projection of U.S. exports was not increased. Instead, both projected world imports and projected South American stocks were reduced.
Nearly half of the 80 million bushel reduction in projected world imports was from China, reflecting lower than expected imports in the last quarter of the 2011 calendar year. The weather conditions in Argentina over the past month were not as adverse as in December and early January, but conditions there and in southern Brazil and Paraguay have been far from ideal, says Good. Unless world demand is weaker than currently projected, additional crop losses there could propel U.S. exports above the current marketplace forecast, and this would be good for the first quarter of the 2012-13 marketing year. Of course, that one starts in the fall.
For the current year, the USDA expects U.S. exports to be 15% less than the record exports of a year ago. To date, shipments plus outstanding sales are 30% less than those of a year ago. Last year, however, export activity was unusually strong in the first half of the year and weak in the last half. The margin of difference between exports this year and last year will narrow as the year progresses.
A smaller South American crop, well, that one might also bring up the U.S. soybean meal exports and therefore the domestic crush above the current projections. It seems likely then, says Good, that the marketing year ending stocks for U.S. soybeans will be somewhat less than the current projection of 275 million bushels. That's good for old crop soybean prices. New crop bean prices have been supported on ideas farmers will sow fewer acres of soybeans in the United States. Now, this stems from the 1.3 million acre increase in winter wheat seedings last fall and the expected 2 to 3 million acre increase in corn plantings. However, Good cautions, with 1.6 million acres released from the CRP last September, prospects for up to a million fewer acres of cotton, and the likelihood of at least 4 to 5 million fewer prevented planted acres in 2012 than in 2011, there should be ample opportunity for more acres of corn, wheat, and soybeans this year. Well, bottom line, Daryl Good says a rebound in March and November futures might be limited near the $13 area for now. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Yeah, booked Commodity Week earlier today for this Friday and a couple of them in the future, too. On this Friday, we'll have Alan Brugler. He's out of Nebraska on with us. You've probably seen him on Ag Day and a couple of other places, and he was on the show not too long ago, well, last year. Mark Deitch was on last year for the first time, and he'll return. And we also booked Sue Martin, so we should have some good Commodity Week programs coming up. You can always listen to those online at willag.org.
Support for stock and commodity reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.
On the phone line with us for this Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market, Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I see that the national basis has been holding fairly strong, although I think it broke just a penny for corn. How about in your area?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it feels like things are pretty well status quo. I haven't seen very many changes. If anything, maybe just a little bit softer in some areas, but really everybody's kind of hanging in there.
Hanging in there, hanging tough, and it's really odd for this time of year, this long. And then you hear all the fundamental reasons for corn to go down, but it just hasn't happened, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I really think that, basis should have softened up more than it has here over the last month. I mean, we did see, really good cash movement when the futures got up there to where we were close to the 660, 670 area for cash corn. That really moved a lot of corn out of the bins. It feels like the basis probably should have got a little bit weaker than what it did. I guess maybe hanging in there as well as it has is kind of a sign of things to come.
And those would be higher prices?
Well, yeah, I definitely think stronger basis as we get into April, May, June, July. I think that we're probably going to see stronger basis levels than maybe what we first thought we would anyway.
Well, let me ask this question. Will we have higher prices as well or just stronger basis levels?
Yeah, I do think as we go into spring, obviously we've got weather issues that we're always going to deal with. I mean, it would be extremely rare if we did have perfect weather conditions in the spring. So, we're going to have to deal with something, I'm sure. So it feels like to me like price levels could move higher as we move into spring.
Has the higher price of crude oil put the pinch on demand for ethanol out of your plant?
It doesn't really seem like it has. Things are still moving pretty well. We haven't, haven't seen any kind of drop-off.
And how about soybeans and basis in the area?
Soybeans right now are pretty well staying the same. Very similar story to corn. You see basis levels hanging in there where they have been for, a month and a half now. Cash price on soybeans, you're somewhere getting close to $13 again in a lot of different areas. So, definitely very good. And, it seems like soybeans continue to move.
And your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn, we would be $6.59. Soybeans, $12.65.
Thanks so much, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Margarita Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, popcorn was introduced to the colonists by Native Americans for the first Thanksgiving dinner. Native Americans were growing it for more than 1,000 years before the arrival of European explorers. By the way, in 1964, scientists digging in southern Mexico
found a small cob of popcorn that was 7,000 years old. In 1857, Heinrich Hertz was born, a German physicist. He was the first to broadcast and receive radio waves. In 1879, Woolworth's, the first chain store, opened in Utica, New York. In 1900, Paul Colesman was born, a German-American engineer. He invented the world's first accurate barometric altimeter. The invention played a major role in establishing routine air service and thus trade around the world. In 1925, Sir Thomas Clifford Allbutt died, an English physician. He invented the short 6-inch clinical thermometer. Before that, a foot-long thermometer was used that took 20 minutes to determine a patient's temperature. And in 1987, Andy Warhol died, an American painter of the pop art movement in the 1960s. He made paintings of Campbell's soup cans, Coca-Cola cans, and other American products. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest and the planet. Let's start right here in the Midwest and begin with the next week or two in our part of the world around Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, and Indiana, please.
Well, we're looking at a few changes in the weather pattern. We're starting to see a large area of cold weather develop in the Canada prairies. And this is not something that we've seen too much over the last several months. That's one of the reasons it's been much warmer than usual across the Midwest and Illinois and Indiana over the last several months. So one thing we're watching is that we're starting to see that cold air move a little bit further to the south. So we think that although meteorological spring begins March 1st, that we're going to actually see some fairly cold temperatures at times over the next 7 to 10 days. So it's going to get a little topsy-turvy as we move forward, but that is kind of typical of spring in Illinois and Indiana. But no major storm systems out there. We'll see some light rain and snow from time to time, but we don't see anything very large coming through over the next 10 days.
On those storm systems, in the eastern Corn Belt, while we have not had a lot of snow, we have had some precipitation, not much in the way of frozen ground, so our subsoil moisture levels are pretty good. But if you start to talk with folks in the northwestern Corn Belt, they'll say, we haven't had snow nor the precipitation, and they're awfully dry. What do you see there?
They have been fairly dry. If you look at the last 180 days and go back over that entire period, so 6 months worth of weather, you can see there's a pretty large area of the eastern Dakota, Minnesota, parts of Iowa that received less than half their average rainfall over that period. And that's a big number. That area is experiencing drought. We calculated exactly how much of the projected corn, soybean, and wheat crop that will be affecting or is affecting right now. And as of this point, it includes about 16% of projected U.S. corn production, 20% of U.S. spring wheat production, but only 1% of hard red winter wheat and soft red winter wheat production, so small amounts of that, and also right around 15% of U.S. soybeans. So that's the number right now that we're looking at that is experiencing drought. There was some snow there over the last 48 hours, so a little bit of an improvement. A few more chances for light rain and snow as we move forward. But at this point, there's nothing major on the horizon except for a very low chance for a winter storm on Sunday, Monday. We don't think that will happen. So we'll be watching that area over the next 6 to 8 weeks. They need a very large system to move through sometime in March to help improve soil moisture levels for planting in April. So that is something to watch, but there's still a lot of time, so we don't really get too excited about it yet.
How often do they get large systems there at that March time frame? Here in our part of the world, it's pretty regular that March and April tend to be wet.
Well, the entire pattern across the United States turns wetter, at least the central United States, during the spring and especially into the summer. So although they stay fairly dry in March, they start to turn wetter, especially in the Dakotas, as you head into April and May. So it's unlikely that you'll see a big system real soon. But as you move forward, as time goes on into March and April, chances go up each week for a major storm system to move through there just because the climate turns wetter.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.